NZ On Air Music presents Long Player.
Oh, hi everyone. How's it going? It's your girl, Coco.
I'm Vox Storm.
I'm Kalala.
And the album that we're going to be talking about is Daughters of the Dawn.
Excited to be here.
Yeah, just chilling. What's good? What's good, family? What's good?
100 frigates flying in the wrong direction. Lands over there, but the island is inception. Navigators throwing out their maps like fire. Fire in their bellies and the wilderness. Spreading looking hot. Like that leftover Ciroc. Like a poly with the cops. Like a Polynesian cop. Like you're standing at Imata. Or down at messy shops. Going, how much does it cost to get the soda without the pop? The brown without the lock. The skin without the...
This album is very moving and reflective, and this album is a response to a specific part of Aotearoa's history. Could you guys share the context behind this album?
I mean if we're talking about why, about the importance of making this album for us, I think it's one part of the story of the Dawn Raids, one part of our migration story as Pacific Islanders, all migrating to Aotearoa, and the race relations between Pacific Islanders and, the government here, the white people here in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s. So just retelling those stories and connecting the past to the next generation through music.
Yeah, totally. And the initiation of the album was with in mind the Dawn Raid apology and the hope for that to happen, you know, thinking back to now it has happened, you know, which was in July. And so it was just an opportunity to be able to, again, bring attention to the narrative, bring attention to, I guess, the injustices that have happened in our nation, particularly here in Aotearoa, on this whenua, on this land. And also to acknowledge those that had been hurt. And you know, I'm a huge advocate of being able to conversate, allow spaces to continue to talk about those particular issues to open up space for healing.
Why is it important that these narratives are shared and offer these incredibly raw insights into individuals and communities that were affected by these raids?
Yeah, I can only speak from my own perspective, and I'd love for the girls to share as well. It's because they will always be there, you know, those particular issues. They have never really gone, no matter how many times you try and brush it under the carpet. And as, I guess, like any oppressed people, because that's really what we're talking about, people that have been oppressed, our own people, sometimes things take a lot longer, and they have, if you look at our history, they have taken a lot longer to resolve and actually not happen again, because things just keep happening again, you know. So the best way for us as artists, I think it's more natural for us to tell our stories by singing, by creating, because that's really what we were wanting to do, you know, create resources in such a way that it's sustainable and lasts for ages, so we can come back and talk about it, and finding the healing through that way. I'm not a big believer of just, let's just get over it and move on, because part of that getting over it and moving on is being able to articulate what it is that we're moving on from in the hopes that we don't do it again, basically. And so to be able to write music and to, you know, put it in words that may resonate for the next generation, I think is definitely a key type of resource that, you know, that I'm really grateful to be part of and to explore more of, actually.
You got to look back to move forward, eh? Like, how many, like, you got the apology that came up. I mean, how many stories do you need to hear for these things to stop happening again? And, like, again, it's good that these, you know, you have this project happening and a lot more stories coming up, but how many stories do you have to hear for these things to stop happening? Like, it's still going. But it's good that our people, like, are speaking up now, and you get to see it in different perspectives, different views, different experiences, and that's real cool. Like, it's not cool, but it's, like, good to hear, and that it's coming out. But, I mean, come on. Who's up there pulling the chains? Like, what are, we need some heavy D up there telling to crack down and start making that change, eh? The apology is one thing. What's next? We're still like, you know, like still challenged, still hushed up, still struggling. When do we all get to be on the same playing field? When do we get to set up on the boards? When do we get to do all those things, you know? I still feel like there's certain people or organizations or something that just keeps having us stay in this one place.
Well, the title of the first track we are listening to today, Carry On The Walk, definitely articulates that desire to progress and not stay in one place.
Yeah, I guess it's quite literal. I mean, we're just carrying on the walk and the activism of our community leaders before us and just trying to strive for better for us. So just carrying on that walk, carrying on that message, carrying on that fight, pushing through. And that's just from my part of the song. I can't speak for the other ladies, but together I felt like it was a resounding, like, as we move forward, you know, sort of statement.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to add on. I think for me, there was also throughout our mentorship, one of the words and I guess phrase that kept, well, that I felt that just kept echoing in my ear was just, I felt like there was an urgency from our mentors, as we would say, rangatira, being Tingi Launess, Alec Toliafua, Milani Anai, whom are members of the Polynesian Panthers, alongside Chris McBride and Archive King. I think even without them even knowing that, you know, there was an them letting us know there was an urgency, like a real deep urgency and kind of like a wake-up call for our now generation to understand, you know, how important it is for us to, I guess, rise, you know, to rise and to, I guess, take that baton. You know, we talk about taking on that baton and moving in this generation. You know, the questions are, what does that look like? We're still trying to figure that out. You know, I think we know, and just thinking about some amazing rangatahi out there that are just some powerhouse people, you know, pushing waves, you know, just within that movement, that space, you know, and just being champions in their own communities, in their own whānau. And yeah, that's really what I felt this song was about, you know, and being that next generation.
In this song as well, there's some voiceovers that play through of people. Could you go into who these voices belong to and how they're involved with this?
Yeah, so first voice is Tingi Launess. He's one of our mentors. He plays a large role in this. And I think one of the conversations that I particularly had with him and Chris at Herne Bay, when I first met them back in 2019, we got to conversate about the whole idea. And he actually spoke particularly about wahine, you know, the wahine in leadership and how important that is, you know, and because of the nature of this narrative, you know, would be really good. You know, he didn't say we need to have only women, but, you know, I guess it was kind of an allude to the idea of why don't we look at getting our wahine to tell this part of the story, you know, because there's so much in that space because of the nature of this narrative, you know what I mean? And so he speaks and he's a large part of and having his voice echoed in that. Milani Anai, or Dr. Milani Anai, who's also the professor at Auckland University teaching Pacific Studies. She's one of our mentors and the only female mentor that we had, directly had, and obviously she's written a couple of books herself. She's a large part of our engagement and our learning, and she's got a powerful story of her own. Itta, Whae Itta, she wasn't one of our mentors, but she's part of the Polynesian Panthers, and again, amazing wahine, and I drew particularly to the female roles, you know, within the Polynesian Panthers. And yeah, so it was those three voices that you would have heard.
And if it weren't for the sisters, I think a lot of us, the brothers in the group, would either be dead or locked up.
At the time of the Dawn Raid, I was a young mother, just having left university and bringing up a young son.
Those wounds aroused the red squad. Those boys were running out. Papa's, they coming back to you. Only in the end they rise up, sons of anarchy. Magazines don't tell these things, but many wolves concave that day. Mothers miss their boys that day. 30 of them locked away. If the slave trade is alive today, many men would say their mothers pray. Mothers pray, mothers prayers go the long way to Jerusalem.
Dismantle prisoners, ministers, conditioners, and hope we find a better man. Mothers and children refined by what was taught them. We grow inside of a revolution.
They want to chop down, sell till the last tree fell. We will not slip into the lull of their song. Histories told, the system will unfold. If we hold true the origin of who we are and where we've been, we footsteps stayed with love. Carry on the wall. Footsteps stayed with love. Carry on the wall.
Were the backbone of the crucible years. We did a lot of work in the office, petitions, cooking sapasui and kalo for the community and homework centres.
Mariama, she was always our go-to person. I still think of her as a wonderful person who made such a difference in our group and was so dearly.
And healing the open wound of the experiences of our families and our people.
Right. 50 years is a long time to wait. We've had enough. It's time.
Footsteps stayed with love.
The track Mother's Design was just inspired by the discussions that we had with Polynesian Panthers, specifically listening to the story of Malani, one of the Wahine in the movement. Just the obstacles that they faced were incredible. Like, if you really do your research on these individuals, like the individual stories, you'll really come to see how much they overcame in order to, you know, do the work, put in the activism, and show up on the front line. And so, yeah, basically Mother's Design was for dedicated and inspired by the matriarchs in that movement and the matriarchs in my own ainga, in my own family. Shout out to my mom. I just thinking about them and all that they've come through. And when I think about matriarchs in my family, I think of something ancient and magical, and I think of fire, and I think, all those things that our people draw strength from, you know, like the ocean and fire, open fire and flames and embers and So it's just very much a exploration on the women that have supported the movement and supported us in our lives. Yeah.
From a mighty song line, hand clenched by the system, his
history different than my mother's design. I say what I say, I mean what I do.
I say what I say.
I am who I am for the fire that they walk through. Tell me what would remain if you let it all go. Have you seen the world change? Watch it grow cold. Tell me what would remain if you let it all go. Say what I say, I mean what I do.
I say
Brick again, another track that's inspired by the discussions that we've had with the Polynesian Panthers and under their mentorship for the past year and a half, 2 years, listening to their stories and just drawing inspiration from that, really brick by brick, being very literal about having to overcome walls and boundaries to get where we are. And you know, the work is still there, and the feat that it takes to overcome these situations, the racial injustices of our people. And so, yeah, Brick by Brick was a very, when I wrote it, I was thinking about rallying, about all the times that I've seen our people go out to rally throughout history for land and for just basic human rights, I guess, to be treated equally, and the passion that we bring when we rally. And yeah, Brick by Brick was definitely inspired by that.
Right, she just lures you in, man. She gives you that magic to begin and then blah, blah, blah. This is what I'm talking about. But she's like that. It's just soft on the outer, but she's got something to say. So listen, but she'll lure you in so that you're comfortable enough. She'll settle you down and then give you the lowdown on what's up. And that's like a lot of our women. We'll sit you down and then we'll give you a nice feed on the table or something like that. And then I'll sit you down once you're having that feed. I'll give you what's up. This is what's happening on my mind. You know? So that's what it is when I hear her of your stuff.
That was the biggest compliment I've ever received. It's like she sits you down and cooks with you and then tells you what's up. I love that. That's gonna be my atmosphere. That's gonna be my atmosphere.
Come on now, come on. You're really good, eh? I gotta learn from that.
Brick by brick, walking up the wall, they won't miss something they could never hold. I never wanna let you down or be complacent in your footsteps, tried and true. And in the heat of all our trials and tribulations, was your love that got us through. And so it's my turn now.
Track Collide. It's only a minute and 17 seconds, but there's so much to unpack with this song, from all the instrumental layers to the echoes in the background to the front lyrics that you're singing. I was just wondering what the process for making this track was like, and yeah, how it came about.
The process, man, you know what? I cried in my first time. I had to ask the sister to leave the room because it hit just a bit different when I was trying to deliver it. And I was going through my own things at that time as well. And I think in this project, we were, you know, in each, you know, different things, we're going through different things anyway. And I just had to get her out of there. And I think it transferred into the song itself. Like, it's quite moving. I've heard people say, oh, when I listen to the song, I feel like from Marina, she's like, she feels like she's standing on a mountaintop and she's just like, you know, singing it down to all the people. And I love the ambient, is it the ambient sound or the reverb? I love all the airy, airiness. I'm safe, I'm comfortable in there. That's my power. I feel like I am. But if I'm going to go through into the lyrics, it's just like, come, 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 collide, come, 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 collide. So all of our people came over here. Why did they come here? Because it was a land of milk and honey, was it? Is that what, you know, it was some, it was a change or a new lifestyle and stuff like that. But it was clashing with what was here in the certain stages as they like found their new life. So in the first lines, it was like, come and go as you please at your convenience. You kept using me, abusing me, you ruined me. I will put that to say that our people came here to make a better life for themselves. They were in the factories working their butts off. They were doing a lot of that, but getting shortchanged, misused, you know, like racism was pretty big then too. Not treated very well. You ruined me. Then I flipped the script because then I looked at some of the words that Milani Anai was saying about the woman. And because it's the woman project, you know, we're giving our perspective or like our stance on it or what was happening. I flipped that and I said, it's a mean for what us women were doing at that time as well. Because it weren't the only the men that were doing the hard yards, it was also the women. So I used biblical references like, I moved mountains, I swam oceans, I held the stars in the sky. So they were giving birth at the same time they were trying to help their men out. I broke earth, opened the heavens, I calmed storms, stopped floods and famines. They were trying to calm their men down and suit them up for a war that they, you know, shouldn't have been happening. But that, you know, that their men were very, I would say, very strong, silent ones, but the woman could see it. So they were going through their own things, carrying not only their own load, but the load of their men, but the load also of their village, but the load of, you know, their people. So I kind of like trying to do different things in there and touch on different things, but I'm in hold. Yeah, that's what the song, I would say, that's it, if I were to break it up in pieces. But as a whole, it was just the women were doing their part and they were playing it really strong. And they, I would say, yeah, just as strong as the men in there. The backbone.
Songs hopefully purely came out of the listening, you know, and the conversations that took place throughout our mentorship. And a lot of what was spoken, I guess, was the monoculture, unequaled relationship that our, particularly our Pacific Island and Māori people have had throughout our history in this nation, with our government, with our leaders of this nation. And I say that it was very unequaled relationship, and that's really what it's talking about, that particular relationship. You know, we talk about, I guess, Te Tiriti being a important document, though not necessarily important, you know. So those are all the things that I guess I don't feel like I've fully touched on, but hopefully given enough to allow conversation to take place, you know, and the pātai within, the questions asked within that waiata, you know, who wrote this? And I'm asking specifically, who are the people that are writing our legislations? Who are the people that are writing our laws? Who are the people that, I guess, have been put in charge? And I think it's important for us as a people in general to always ask questions, as we've seen things of, you know, where we are at the moment. Things are just all over the place, you know, if you have to look. It's just really important that we do hold our leaders accountable you know, I'm not, it's the hardest thing to lead a nation first and foremost. So, you know, I can never say that they should just do this and do that, but they are representing us all. And a lot of that representation hasn't been as equal for many of our Pacific and Māori people. And that's just the truth. And we've seen that throughout our nation, throughout our history. And I think there was also an opportunity for me to really touch on that. And we, as girls, we wanted to be able to look at different parts of the narrative of what we were taught. And that part of our engagement really resonated with me. And I talk about this, or can I do this one? You know, and that, I think together, that helped cover everything that we felt as, you know, as wahine, as a team, as a collective, to pay homage to our mentors and also our own families, our own ainga, our, you know. And so, yeah, paper, there's a lot in that.
Beautiful sight, all the pretty things we would hope to find on this new land, in broken light, learning ways to save for our children's trophy fight. Oh, who wrote this?
Legislation.
Long Player. Thanks NZ On Air Music.